recently our family read through the book of Job, and one of the chapters, a couple of the chapters really stood out to me, chapters 32 and 33. And I want to say this is not an exhortation, but just things that I've enjoyed that perhaps some could apply these to our own lives and in our own assemblies. So in Job, just to give a little background, to make a long story short, as our kids know, the book of Job is very long, but Job comes into a situation where he is under immense stress and trial. And his friends come to help him, and they end up only accusing him of sin because they can see no other reason why these things would come into his life. And it was wrong. God had said that Job had walked uprightly. So it was wrong, that their accusation, but they could see no other answer. And so Job responds, and they're just arguing back and forth. And it's very interesting, but it's a lot of complaining. But at the end, coming to this chapter, the friends give up. They pretty much, we can't argue with Job. And Job still doesn't have the answer he wants. And in this 32nd chapter, a silent listener speaks up. And I want to apply this, or I've applied this in my own enjoyment, to someone who feels the need to speak a prophetic word, whether it's an open meeting or to their friend. They feel that the Lord has put something on their heart to speak to that person or to a group of people. And not so much from the point of view, often we say, let the prophet speak two or three and the others judge. And we think about maybe the others. But I really want to focus on what's going through the mind or the heart of Elihu, which is the silent listener, that causes him to speak. And almost like a checklist of things that are important for, I believe, and this again applying to myself, for us, if we're going to speak a prophetic word, that we ensure that, one, it is really needed, and that we have the right motive in saying it. And I personally feel that if I went through this little like checklist, that I think what I say prophetically, or what I intend to say, might be more beneficial for others. But when I say prophetically, I mean speaking God's mind for his people at a certain time, and whether it's to an individual or to a group. So I just want to go through. So the chapter 32 and the beginning of 33 is all I really thought of going through. And it's what's going through Elihu's mind. First, there's a little bit of commentary on from the Holy Spirit as to what Elihu was thinking. And then it's what he says when he starts, before he kind of starts telling Job what he feels. So in Job chapter 32, it says, verse 1, it says, "So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer and yet condemned Job." So I don't want to focus too much on the actual Job's problem, but two things. One, his wrath was kindled against Job because Job wasn't justifying God. He was justifying himself. So I believe love for God and for the Lord Jesus is the first motivation for a prophetic word. It's love for him. And we should check that. Is that my motive before I speak? The second, love for Job. His friends were falsely accusing him, and Elihu saw that was wrong, and he cared about Job. And I think the second, a love for our brethren, that should be the motive for us when we speak to someone. We're trying to encourage them, exhort them, whatever it is. That should be the motive, those two things. So that's what I get from those few verses. So it says, "Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken, because they were older than he When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you mine opinion. I think the other thing is, a lesson we get here is that he understood his place relative to them and to Job. And I think that when we talk to anyone, we feel we should speak to them. Recognize our place naturally and spiritually in relation to them before we speak. And I think it's a good check that I don't go and speak to a bunch of older ones as if they're my little brothers. That would be a wrong way to do it. And even when we get to rebuke, which I'm not really considering that specific part, but even rebuke, Paul is so careful, Timothy, rebuke not an elder sharply. Be very careful what you say. So I see this very wise young man that he's considering that. He's even telling them, I saw this, that I see that you are older than me, and I didn't want to say anything. So it's wise there, I think. And he says, verse 7, I said days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. So he says, older should mean wiser. But it's not always the case. And it's good to recognize that for all of us, that though we respect someone, everyone has faults. And in this case, it was evident Job's friend's faults were very evident. Job's faults were evident to him. But he still had that respect, even though the fault was very evident. So then in verse 8 it says, but there is a spirit in a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So the spirit is our the God-conscious part of us, that which is connected with him. And, of course, they didn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling them in this time. But we know that God speaks to us through his spirit. He teaches us through the word of God. And Elihu is saying, God speaks, has spoken to me, is what he's saying. He's told me something. And I feel that it is important that if we're going to speak to someone, we feel sure that God has told us. And I know there can be some uncertainty and things like that, but be sure that it's from him. And there's another one we'll get to a little bit later that further, I think, checks that. So he says, great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment, kind of what we already mentioned before. Therefore I said, verse 10, hearken to me, I also will show mine opinion. Behold, I waited for your words. I gave ear to your reasons, whilst ye searched out what to say. I think he had sat there and he had listened to them as they were saying, trying to reason this out. As they're speaking, they're trying to think this thing through. And he had listened. He had sat through listening to them, almost their thought process. And it says, verse 12, yea, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job or that answered his words. And I think this next part, this next verse is important. Verse 13, lest ye should say, we have found out wisdom. So if they had convinced Job, they would have said, we've made it. We've convinced Job. But this next part is the part I want to focus on. I'll read it. Darby's translation is a little bit different. It says, God will make him yield, not man. So I think we need to recognize if we are to feeling, you know, we've been, the Lord has given us something to speak to someone. Don't think you are going to make someone yield in whatever way it is. God's going to do it, not man. And Elihu understood that. He was going to present this to Job, and God was going to have to do the work. And it's always that case. And if we feel that by the way we speak, that we can convince people to change their ways, that's wrong. It's God who's going to make him yield. So I think very wise of Elihu to understand that it's really God that does the work in a heart, no matter who the messenger is. So then, verse 14. Now he hath not he, that's Job, has not directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches. So he said, Job wasn't talking to me, but I'm not going to respond the way you guys did. And he's going to lay out a little bit of how he wants to respond, which in contrast to how they had responded. It says, they were, verse 15, they were amazed. They answered no more. They left off speaking. When I had waited, for they spake not, but stood still, and answered no more, I said. So he had waited and let them say their piece, and then there was silence, and now he spoke. And I think there's two thoughts here. Actually, Bill Mazerell's here. Yeah, we were discussing a lunch today, that sometimes silence is good. I think of this as to an open meeting, open for ministry. A little bit of silence can cause someone who thinks they may have a word to feel they do have a word, to say, no one else can, no one else has a word. It's right. The Lord has a word for me. I'm not saying that as a younger person, if we hear silence, it's time to, that must mean it's our, we should say something. But silence is not a bad thing. It's actually an exercising thing. And it's a little bit unnerving, let's say, when there's an open meeting where there's no silence. Personally, I feel that way, that there's no letting it sink in. There's no, or a prayer is made and immediately there's a word for us. And I just say that because he waited for silence before he said something. He wanted to make sure everything was said. And I think personally, the younger person, I'm sure everyone can feel the same, that you start to feel the weight. If there was something and you're kind of saying, well, I don't think that's from the Lord. I don't think it's a word for now. And the silence comes and you start to realize it is a word from the Lord. So I think that silence is important. So that was one of the things that compelled him to speak, was their silence. So he said, I will answer also my part. I also will show mine opinion. For I am full of matter. The spirit within me constraineth me. Behold, my belly is as wine which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. So he felt, he says, the spirit within me, that is the natural spirit within him, the God-conscious part of him, compelled him. So that is our, you might say, link with God. And of course, he stirs us up through the Holy Spirit, as we know in the New Testament, to speak. And he felt that. So he felt it from the Lord. And he says his belly feels like it's full. Not like too much dairy, but like this pressure from within that he has to release. He has to say what it is to say. And I think it says like wine. It says like new bottles of wine. When wine ferments, it lets off a gas and the bottles will stretch. And if there's too much fermentation, it could burst the bottle. So he felt like, I have to let this out. And, you know, I actually saw an example of this. I won't say who it was, but at Montrose Conference one year, a brother came up in the open meeting. He said, I have a burden from the Lord. He said what he had to say. And he said, my burden is expelled. I never heard it put that way. And then he sat down. And it was so evident. He was bursting. He said what he had to say. And that was it. And I think as individuals too, we will feel that. I have to say something. And we don't want to ignore that. And so Elihu doesn't ignore that. It's from the Lord. And he's going to say it. He says, I will speak that I may be refreshed. To speak that which the Lord has given us to speak is refreshing. And let's just get on with it so I can say it and be refreshed. So that seems to be his attitude. Now, one thing I will mention, I haven't mentioned anything about 1 Corinthians 14 where we get the open meeting. I'm not looking so much at this from a let's teach about that meeting in particular, but more just what I take from this as an example for us. There it says the spirits of the prophets should be subject to the prophets. So we have to have some self-control too. And so there's a little bit of a balance there. Maybe Elihu didn't have as much self-control as maybe he should have had. He was a young man. So that's just one thing I'll mention there. So then he says in verse 21, let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. For I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my Maker would soon take me away. So one thing he's concerned about is who he's talking to, or even who's listening maybe. You know, the three friends were there. That because of their status, that he might treat them specially or not fully dispense his message. And my thought is, if the Lord has given us a message, we need to say it. There could be some repercussion for it. But if let's say we've checked all the other boxes that we know is from Him, it's worth saying. And we wouldn't want to, put some people in different elevated position when it comes to that. Of course, keeping in mind our relationship with them, as we mentioned earlier. And he also says flattering titles. It's kind of interesting. I didn't look at Darby's translation for that, but to me, I just thought of if I'm speaking to a group, for example, something that I feel burdened about, and I start just, saying nice things and compliments to certain people, it really distracts from the message. I'm not sure if that's what he is meant there, but I take that from that verse. So now, Elihu believes he can help. So in verse 1 of chapter 33, he says, "Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches and hearken to all my words. Behold, now I have opened my mouth, my tongue hath spoken in my mouth." So he started speaking, so he's going to continue. He says, "My words shall be of uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly." So two things I take there. One, uprightness of heart. He was going to speak honestly and forthrightly to Job. No embellishment or anything like that to get a point across. He's going to say exactly what the Lord had given him. And it says, "My lips shall utter knowledge clearly." And I think of that, the Word of God. Where does knowledge come from? We get our knowledge from the Word of God through His Spirit. So when we speak, it should be from the Word of God. And my thought there is, how sad to speak in an open meeting or to someone we're trying to encourage or to exhort, whatever it is, and we don't crack the Word of God open. We don't open it up and read something from it. Now, Brother John Kemp, I know you were today quoting a bunch of scriptures. I don't mean that. But I mean, if we have a message that's void from the Word of God in it, that's a sad thing. That's not true wisdom either, is it? True knowledge that's from the Word of God. So what has the effect is the Word of God coming to bear on the conscience? So it needs to be present. So I take that from his lips shall utter knowledge and clearly. So it wouldn't be garbled, hopefully not like I'm doing right now, but clear so that the person speaking we're speaking to can understand, and it's knowledge, and it will be recognized as such from the Word of God. So then he says, the Spirit, now this is interesting, now he speaks to Job. I don't remember which writer said this that I read, man to man. And that's a good way, I think, especially personally. But even when, if someone is speaking in an open meeting, that we don't speak down to, I'm up here, I mean, literally, sometimes we're standing up high, and I speak to you. We hear often a lot of brothers say, "This is as much for myself as anyone else." And I appreciate that because it's speaking man, Christian to Christian. So he says, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." That goes for every person that God has made us. And he says, "If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me. Stand up." So I apply this to a personal conversation. He goes, "Let's discuss. I'll say something and I want you to respond to me." The others, and that's not, the format of an open meeting, but I think when we read the others judge, there should be an expectation of a response. Brother, I enjoyed that, or brother, I didn't feel that was right. And there should be this response. That's what Elihu was expecting. I'm going to say something and you just answer me. So it's, I just take that from this verse here. Then it says, "Behold," and this is where I need to read Darby's translation again. "Behold, before God, I am as thou. I also am formed." He is acknowledging his mere humanity. He is also a man, and I think it's important that we recognize that as the one speaking. Because that's kind of where I'm coming from. But also as those listening, we're all men and women. We're all made by God. We all have the same, the flesh in us. But to as a speaker to recognize that and to convey that. And again, I'm maybe I don't want to go into it, you know, making an art of speaking to others, but I do feel it's important that we all feel that. We're all individuals before God. So he says that, and I think it's really nice that he speaks in that way. The last verse is the last thing I want to look at here. In verse 7, he says, "Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee." He was not going to use this occasion to verbally beat Job. And he was not going to, you know, you look at Job, he's in anguish with what his friends say. His friends say, you must be wicked, you're secretly wicked. That hurt him. And Elihu is not there to, and it almost seems like when you read what his friends are saying, that they're trying to get him going. Or just, they got nothing else, so that's what they go with. But it seems like, you know, Elihu's trying to say, it's for your good, and I'm not trying to attack you. And you shouldn't be afraid. It's man, brother to brother we're speaking, and believer to believer. And I think that's important too, that we recognize, whether it's, you know, again, open meeting or as an individual speaking to another individual, we feel burdened by the Lord, that we aren't coming that way. We will shut the ear right off. And the reaction from Job could have been a lot worse. Could have been very bad if Elihu hadn't said this. I'm not trying to attack. And I just take that from this, that he was not trying to bring fear or judgment or anything upon Job, but simply, I see what's missing. The Lord has shown me, and I want to show you. So that's all I really have. It goes on from there to, it's beautiful what Elihu, evidently very wise man, what he has, for his age especially, what he brings out. And his key message, I believe, is the end of verse 12 of chapter 33. God is greater than man. That was Job's problem. He didn't recognize that. You own that first. So it seems like very, but he goes on in a lot of detail, but I think I'll just leave it there, that those are some of the things that I picked up, that when we speak in a prophetic way, you know, to exhort or whatever it is, we feel burdened by the Lord, that we should feel burdened, even so much that we can't contain it. It should be from the Word of God, and it should be based on the Word of God. We should be speaking as individuals or one to another, not from any lofty place of, I lived this moral life and you didn't, so I'm going to speak down to you. It should be man to man, and it should be clear that it's from God to that person and not just an opinion. Although Elihu does say opinion an awful lot in this, which maybe others have thoughts on that. But that's all I really had on that subject.